Hello everyone and welcome to the podcast. This is Father Narek from St. Sarkis Church. I hope everyone is having a blessed day. I know I have some listeners who listen to the podcast on their way while they're driving. And for that, I pray that the Lord may guide you to your destination safely. And for all those who are listening to the podcast in your homes, may you have the peace of the Lord in your hearts. Today, I would like to start my podcast differently. I am well aware of the struggle that some of our parishioners are experiencing. Today, I would like to offer a prayer for those who lost loved ones, for those who went through invasive surgeries, and for those who are suffering with physical and emotional pain. Let us pray with the words of our church fathers. Lord our God, dispel the pain and heal the sickness of your people, and grant to all perfect health by the sign of your ever-victorious Holy Cross, through which you remove the weakness of mankind and condemn the enemy of our life and our salvation. You are our life and our salvation, beneficent and merciful Father. You alone can forgive us our sins and remove diseases and sickness from us. Bestower of good gifts, grant your mercy to your creation, to everyone according to their individual needs. And we will glorify the all-holy Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, now and always, and forever and ever. Amen. I hope everybody is having a good week. I would like to talk about our annual picnic, which was this past Sunday, September 14th. We had an excellent picnic this year. It started with the blessing of Basil of the Feast of the Exaltation of the Holy Cross on the picnic grounds. The weather was perfect. Food was delicious. Michael Gostanian and his band, with special guest Husher, performed amazing. The kids' zone was so much fun, to a point that one of the kids came and said, "Thank you for this cool picnic." St. Sarkis Cafe was really trendy, and the folks who attended had really a great time. I would like to take a moment to thank the picnic committee, the sponsors, the volunteers, and all helpers. Everyone did a fantastic job. May God bless you all. Have you lost something that you wish someone would give back to you? How did you lose it? Is there a story you'd like to tell? The Bible is full of stories of lost and found. The parable of the lost sheep, the parable of the lost coin, and the parable of the prodigal son. Lost and found is a theme that we can all relate to. This year, the community of St. Sarkis Church found something that was gone long time ago, or that's what we thought. On the night of May 21st, 1985, The bell tower of St. Sarkis Church was hit by lightning, and the resulting fire destroyed the church. The only item that survived and was left in an intact condition was a small picture of Jesus, which we use until today during Good Friday services. This summer, however, we were presented with a shopping bag which contained a blackened chalice. Yes, we found the original chalice of the old St. Sarkis Church, which a long-standing parishioner of our church, Mr. Levon Shamlian, or better known as Yechper Levon, had discovered in the ashes of the old church on the following day of the destroying fire. Now, did you ever have something that was so precious to you that you decide to hide it in a safe place? So safe that even you couldn't find it? That was the case of the chalice. Yechper Levon hid it in a place that even he couldn't find until recently. And he brought the chalice back to the church where it belongs. He told me the story that on the following day of the fire, he went to the church and he tried to dig in the ashes and he was able to find the chalice. As I look to this chalice, I can imagine our first pastor, Derasorik, celebrating the Holy Eucharist. I can imagine our former prelates, Hrant Serpazan, Karekin Serpazan, and Mesrop Serpazan, presiding over religious celebrations. I can imagine the community of St. Sarkis Church partaking the life-giving body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is all history now, and we are the continuation of that history. I am so happy that Yechper Levon was able to find the chalice and bring it back to our church. We will place the chalice in a place in the church where everyone can see that St. Sarkis Church has risen from the ashes. I am pleased to say that we have listeners who are asking serious questions about their faith, and they have discovered the podcast to be the place where they can ask their questions and for me to try to answer your questions. So if you have any questions about your faith, about your church, about the Bible, you can send me an email and I will try to answer your questions to the best of my abilities. Today, we have a very important question. One of our listeners writes, I have actually stopped taking communion in the church because I don't know if it's the right thing to do anymore. I feel a sort of push and pull internally. I feel like I am fighting with myself. There are many opinions about communion since Catholics believe it is actually Jesus Christ in that cup, and therefore we are sacrificing him again and again and again, which is not right. What does the Armenian Apostolic Church believe? Jesus was the final sacrifice. As I said, this is a very important question, and to answer this question, we must examine the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist. The Eucharist is the center of the church's life. Everything in the church leads to the Eucharist, and all things flow from it. The Christian Eucharist is a meal specifically connected with the Passover meal of the Old Testament. At the end of his life, Christ, the Messiah, ate the Passover meal with his disciples. The Passover meal was transformed by Christ into an act done in remembrance of him, of his life, death, and resurrection as the new and eternal Passover lamb who frees men from the slavery of sin, ignorance, death, and transfers them into the everlasting life of the kingdom of God. At the supper, Christ took the bread and the wine and ordered his disciples to eat and drink it as his own body and blood. This action thus became the center of the Christian life. The experience of the presence of the risen Christ in the midst of his people. As a word, the term Eucharist means thanksgiving. This name is given to the sacred meal, not only to the element of bread and wine, but to the whole act of gathering, praying, reading the Holy Scriptures, and proclaiming God's word, remembering Christ, and eating and drinking his body and blood in communion with him and with God the Father by the Holy Spirit. The word Eucharist is used because the all-embracing meaning of the Lord's banquet is that of thanksgiving to God in Christ and the Holy Spirit for all that he has done in making, saving, and glorifying the world. The sacrament of the Eucharist is also called Holy Communion, since it is the mystical communion of men with God. The Holy Eucharist is strictly understood as being the real presence of Christ, his true body and blood mystically present in the bread and wine, which are offered to the Father in his name and consecrated by the divine Spirit of God. In the history of Christian thought, various ways were developed to try to explain how the bread and the wine become the body and the blood of Christ in the Eucharistic liturgy. The Armenian Church denies the doctrine that the body and the blood of the Eucharist are merely intellectual or physiological symbols of Christ's body and blood. The Orthodox tradition uses the term symbols for the Eucharistic gifts. It calls the service a mystery. Remember, Chorur Torin, this is how we start our celebration of the Eucharist. And the sacrifice of the liturgy, a spiritual and bloodless sacrifice. These terms are used by the Holy Fathers and the liturgy itself. By eating and drinking the bread and wine, which are mystically consecrated by the Holy Spirit, we have genuine communion with God through Christ, who is himself the bread of life. Let us remember the words of Jesus in the Gospel of John. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread which I shall give for the life of the world is my flesh. Let us also remember the words of the Apostle Paul. The Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, also the cup, after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread and drinks the cup in an unworthy manner will be guilty of profaning the body and the blood of the Lord." So we see that the Bible gives us instructions about the Holy Eucharist, about the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Since the Holy Eucharist is spiritual food, it does for the soul what physical food does for the body. With the Holy Communion, we become one with Christ. The Holy Communion is the ultimate and most intimate union with God. This union is simply called communion. This is why the Holy Eucharist is preeminently the sacrament of spiritual growth and strength. The Holy Eucharist, or the Lord's Supper, is a reminder of what Jesus did in the past a symbol of our present relationship with Him and a promise of what He will do in the future. As we read the words of Paul, "For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes." The Lord's Supper looks back to the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. His death is the best news possible. It shows how much God loves us, so much that He sent His Son to die for us, so that our sins may be forgiven and we may live forever with Him. The death of Jesus is a tremendous gift to us. It is precious. So the Lord's Supper, although a memorial of a death, it's not a funeral, and certainly we are not re-sacrificing Jesus. Quite the contrary, we observe this memorial knowing that death held Jesus only 3 days, knowing that death will not hold us forever either. We rejoice that Jesus has conquered death and has set free all who were enslaved by a fear of death. We can remember Jesus' death with the happy knowledge that He has triumphed over sin and death. Coming to the Lord's table and having communion should be a celebration, not a funeral. Remember the words of Jesus, "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him." We signify that we live in Christ, and He lives in us. But when we are aware that Jesus lives in us, we also pause to think what kind of a home we are giving Him. Before He came into our lives, we were habitations of sin, and Jesus knew it before He even knocked on the door of our lives. In our church, before partaking the Holy Communion, it is customary for us to have the confession, and that because we follow the words of St. Paul, who says, "Everyone should examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink of the cup." When we examine ourselves, we often find sin. This is normal. It is not a reason to avoid the Lord's Supper. It is simply a reminder that we need Jesus in our lives, because only He can take our sins away. The Lord's Supper, the Eucharist, is rich in meaning. That is why it has been a prominent part of the Christian tradition throughout the centuries. Sometimes it has been allowed to become a lifeless ritual, done more out of habit than with meaning. When a ritual loses meaning, some people overact by stopping the ritual entirely. The better response is to restore the meaning. That's why it is helpful for us to review what we are symbolizing. Therefore, I would invite the person who asked this question and all our listeners to reflect upon the real meaning of the Eucharist and to reconnect back to the biblical roots and be in communion with our Creator and our Lord Jesus Christ. Part of what we do here in the podcast every Thursday is we read the Word of God, and today we will be reading from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 21, verses 12 through 17. Jesus cleanses the temple. "Then Jesus entered the temple and drove out all who were selling and buying in the temple, and He overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves, and said to them, 'It is written, My house shall be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers.' Then the blind and the lame came to Him in the temple, and He cured them. But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the amazing things that He did, and heard the children crying out in the temple, 'Hosanna to the Son of David,' they became angry and said to Him, 'Do you hear what these are saying?' Jesus said to them, 'Yes. Have you never read Out of the mouths of infants and nursing babies, you have prepared praise for yourself. He left them, went out of the city of Bethany, and spent the night there. This is a reading that we usually read on Palm Sunday. Today, however, it is part of our lectionary, and I will not concentrate on the first part, the cleansing of the temple, but rather I would like to concentrate on the second part of this reading, the fact that children were crying out in the temple, "Hosanna to the Son of David." It has been part of my mission to spend time with children and youth, trying to invite them to know the Lord and to have a relationship with God through the experience of the Armenian Apostolic Church. I believe that learning about God, knowing God, praying to God from an early age is very important, because through faith and through the Christian values, young souls receive the most invaluable tool that will guide their steps every day throughout their lives. So I would like to share a story with you. This past Saturday, as I was teaching religion in our Saturday school, I was spending some time with the first graders, and I wanted to know how much they knew about God. And I asked them a question: what do you know about God? And these first graders are really smart, because most of them gave me very good answers. They said, God is our creator. God loves us. God created the universe and everything. And one of the things that they said about God is, God is invisible. And we tried to explore that aspect of God. And then I realized that there was this one kid who had a very sad face. I went to him and I asked, what's going on? Are you okay? And he said, I feel sad that I cannot see God. I put my hand on his shoulder and I said, we cannot see God, but we can feel God in our hearts, and we can feel God whenever we love everyone that God has created. And I asked him, are you willing to love God without seeing God? And he said, yes. And I said, we are in this journey together, and I will make sure that I will do my best to teach you about God. My dear listeners, we give everything to our children. Let us not forget to feed them also spiritually, to provide the nourishment for their souls at a young age. May God bless you, and may God bless your children. Today I would like to play a hymn from the Divine Liturgy of the Armenian Church, the Holy Badarak, a hymn that we sing right after partaking the Holy Communion. Now, in most of our churches, we hear the Holy Badarak, the Divine Liturgy, performed in Yegmalian music. Today, however, I would like to play this hymn from a Gomidasian Badarak, a Divine Liturgy which has been arranged by Gomidas himself. The words of the hymn go like this: we have been filled with your goodness, O Lord, by partaking of your body and blood. Glory in the highest to you who have fed us, you who continually feed us. Send down upon us your spiritual blessing. Glory in the highest to you who have fed us. I hope you will enjoy this hymn, and I will be back with you next Thursday. May God bless you.